Today's video is brought to you by Audible. Now, one thing I found to be surprising after starting this channel is how many of you tell me that you listen to my videos more than actually watching them. And I actually find this is a bit of a relief, as I often find myself overthinking the visual aspect of my videos. However, on the other hand, I often find myself consuming a majority of my content through listening as well. And that's why I'm happy that Audible has decided to sponsor today's video. I've said it once and I'll say it again, audiobooks are by far one of the best ways to get intricate storytelling and fall down rabbit holes. And while I've used it to find topics for my videos, recently I've been on a bit of a true crime binge, and I'd highly recommend a title by the name of Chaos, which details an incredibly deep dive into Charles Manson, as well as other alleged ties to the CIA. And you can enjoy this title, as well as many others, with Audible, as they have one of the best selections of audiobooks, and the Audible Plus catalog includes thousands of audiobooks, exclusive Audible originals, as well as podcasts on a wide array of topics. With all of that being said, try Audible absolutely free for 30 days by going to audible.com/sociable, or texting sociable to 500-500. Once again, that's audible.com/sociable or text sociable to 500-500. And thanks once again to Audible for making this video possible. Hello again and welcome back to the channel. Now I must say, if there is one piece of subject matter that I can never fully come to a concise conclusion on as to my own personal beliefs, it's the whole UFO thing. And despite me covering on this channel how a wide variety of grifters get involved in it, there appears to at least be some seed of truth to some of the claims of UAP, UFOs, and anti-gravity manipulative tech, in particular when it comes to government-funded research. And as a bit of a disclaimer, because I know this subject matter draws out an absolute array of opinions, just know my goal here isn't to change your beliefs, but more so just tell you what I found and entertain you. So let's get into it. As we are going to discuss the disappearance of one particular scientist by the name of Dr. Ning Li. Now this story obviously begins with one particular physicist by the name of Dr. Ning Li, who was working at the Center for Space Plasma and Aeronomic Research and the University of Alabama Huntsville in the 1990s. Ning Li's main claim to fame here seemed to come from a variety of her peer-reviewed papers that she published during this time, in which a theory of hers predicted a practical way to create an anti-gravity effect.
I think the theory already hold there, you know, they published through the review process. Then that's very controversial. I know a lot of people criticize it. But fortunately, nobody found any mistake in my papers. So just about no mistake, but people don't believe it, I know. Until I got an experimental result, I can show people.
And before I try to explain any of her research, I want to make clear that when I'm referring to anti-gravity, I'm essentially referring to gravity manipulation, as gravity is a fundamental force of nature. And in regards to Ning Li's research, the core idea included in her papers seemed to stem from one core concept, that being things called superconductors, which are essentially a substance that can conduct electricity with no resistance, meaning that no energy is lost from point A to point B. Now, generally, the state of superconductivity is achieved when a substance cools to a particular critical temperature, and generally one of the cooler side effects, no pun intended, for achieving this critical temperature is the expulsion of the substance's magnetic field, and that's what you're witnessing right now. Now, this is obviously one example from a broad, sweeping concept that could be applied to the future of superconductors. And as you can imagine, having incredibly efficient electricity would be highly useful for a number of reasons beyond just the gravitomagnetic effect. But on that same note, one of the main problems with superconductors is that you need incredibly cold temperatures to achieve this. This has led to an interest in high-temperature superconductors, which is actually referring to substances that superconduct above negative 196 Celsius. And realistically, for these things to probably change our day-to-day lives, such as the ever-so-elusive hoverboard, there's definitely going to be a need for a room-temperature superconductor, which has yet to be discovered yet. And while I will note last year the first room-temperature superconductor was found, the only problem with it is that it only existed under extreme levels of pressure, making it really unusable for the average person. But all of that being said, where Dr. Ning Li fits into this is her creation and claim that a high-temperature superconducting disk that she was developing could essentially create a force field-like effect. The first notable paper here was Effects of Gravitomagnetic Field on Pure Superconductors, and it was published in 1991. A year later, she would publish another paper by the name of gravitational effects on the magnetic attenuation of superconductors. And in a subsequent paper just a year later called Gravitoelectric Electric Coupling via Superconductivity was also peer-reviewed and published. Now, I'm not a physics channel, but I'll include links to these papers that you can check out for yourself. But to summarize Ning Li's theory, she essentially noted that rotating ions spinning in a perpendicular field to their spin axis would create an anti-gravity effect if a large number of ions could be aligned in something called a Bose-Einstein condensate, which is essentially an exotic state of matter in which all of the atoms act as one, where she theorized that this alignment may be possible by trapping superconductor ions in a lattice structure in a high-temperature superconducting disk, which in turn led to the development of a 12-inch prototype that you saw in the picture earlier. And to quote an article from October 1st, 1999, which is done by a publication by the name of Popular Mechanics, "The first thing to understand about Li's device is that it is neither an anti-gravity machine nor a gravitational shield," says Jonathan Campbell, a scientist at the NASA Marshall Space Flight Center who has worked with Li. "It does not modify gravity, rather it produces a gravity-like field that may be either attractive or repulsive." Li describes her device as a method of generating a never-before-seen force field that acts in a way that is similar to gravity. Since it may be either repulsive or attractive, she calls it AC gravity. "It adds to or counteracts or redirects gravity," explains Larry Smalley, the former chairman of the University of Alabama at Huntsville, UAH Physics Department. And it's also worth noting, for her device to work, it would require one other component, that being a rotating motor for the individual ions. As the next section read, "Although Li's theory has passed through scientific quality control process called peer review, and a high-temperature superconducting disk has been constructed, important technical unknowns remain. This summer, Li left UAH. She and several colleagues are striking out on their own to commercialize devices based on her theory and a proprietary high-temperature superconducting disk fabrication technique. Li's next step is to raise the several million dollars needed to build the induction motor that individually spins the ions in the high-temperature superconducting disk. It will take at least 2 years to simulate the machine on a computer," says Smalley, who plans to join Li's as-yet-unnamed company after he retires from UAH. And it's worth noting in the final statement given by Li in this article, she states, "Investors want control over the technology. She says, this is too important. It should belong to all the American people." Now, with all that being said, I'm not a physics channel, and I can't really comment on the paper herself or her experimental results that she claimed to observe in and around this time. But what is worth noting are the mysterious events that surround her research thereafter. But what is rather bizarre about that article we just read was the fact that it was in 1999, and just 2 years prior, a final experiment that she did showed that little to no effect was present at all in her theory, stating this result put new limits on strength and range of the proposed coupling between superconductors and gravity. But despite this fact, sometime after this final paper had been published, she would still continue to leave her position at the college and would leave to start a company called AC Gravity LLC. And the other professor that Ning Li was working alongside, that man by the name of Douglas Tor, would go on to found his own company by the name of Phase Space Time LLC. I should say it's rather bizarre that if you truly believed that this theory was a dead end, then why would you then leave your job and start a company off that theory that supposedly didn't work? Or if we take this particular abstract at face value, why would you quit your job to study something that just had severe limits imposed on it? That seems like a risky idea to base your entire career off of. And I must say, one of the common themes that I came across when researching this particular topic is the frequent theme of promising research disappearing from the public, along with many of the researchers regarding the subject not typically wanting to talk to the press. While Ning Li was an exception in this instance, that can't be said about everyone. And to understand this 1997 paper, I think it's important to understand the controversial nature about this research as a whole. And that's why I want to bring up another researcher that was doing other experiments at this particular time by the name of Eugene Podklonov. And the story with him goes that he was a ceramics engineer who was researching at the Tampere University of Technology in Finland, where in 1992, after conducting experiments on superconductors, he published a paper that was peer-reviewed claiming that he observed a 0.3% gravity shielding effect from his experiment. And this was essentially done by having a rotating superconducting disk cooled with liquid nitrogen at a particular amount of rotations per minute, where objects above the disk seemed to have a weight-reducing effect. And in 1996, he published a paper that initially passed peer review as well, claiming this time that he observed a 2% gravity shielding effect. And it was only after this paper was leaked to the Sunday Telegraph that the words, "A scientist in Finland are about to reveal details of the world's first anti-gravity device," made it to the front of the paper. And as a result, the head of the research department there where Podklonov worked claimed that he was working on his own, and that the co-author of the paper had no idea that these experiments were going on at all, apparently with his name on it. And with that sensational headline bringing in so many people that were asking so many questions, as well as extreme scrutiny from the broader scientific community, Podklonov ended up withdrawing his second paper after it had already been accepted. And it's also worth noting that Eugene Podklonov ended up losing his job as a result of this as well, at the university. Now, I should state that Podklonov's work is essentially considered to be 100% fringe physics, as nobody has been able to recreate his results on more than one occasion. The closest anybody seems to have gotten was the European Space Agency in 2006, who seemed to confirm a gravitational equivalent of a magnetic field when rotating a superconductor at 6,500 RPM. This was after previously failed experiments, however, in this case, they claimed to have conducted over 250 experiments, improved the facility over 3 years, and discussed the validity of the results for 8 months prior to making this announcement, but nobody has been able to apparently recreate these results as well. And despite this careful consideration before making this announcement, they still backtracked and claimed that the results were just noise. Now, this has led to quite a few conspiracy theories regarding whether some people have been able to recreate Podklonov's experiments, but fear promoting radical ideas that contend with Einstein's general theory of relativity, which would suggest that anything like this is completely impossible. However, on the flip side of things, Ning Li's explanation of a superconductor seems to portray it as a large quantum object, which if true would make it immune to this criticism, as Einstein's general theory of relativity seems to break down when it comes to quantum mechanics. But that being said, we know eventually that we will require some breakthrough to explain the divide between quantum mechanics and relativity. And while Einstein's theory is by far the best at understanding gravity, great claims require great evidence, which makes this entire saga regarding Ning Li very interesting. And that being said, Ning Li's paper still seems to describe, albeit a small, effect. However, I will note she was not using a rotating superconductor. It was just a stationary one. And after purchasing this particular journal on Ning Li's 1997 paper, I found it odd that at the end of the paper, it states that they intend on doing more research into the rotating version of this experiment, and that the rotating version of the experiment will be reported in subsequent work. But instead, after this controversy, Ning Li would subsequently conduct her research outside the realm of academia. And furthermore, what is also incredibly interesting is that in the cases where Podklonov's research has yet to be verified, all of the other experiments only seem to follow Podklonov's procedure as a partial replication. Now, I'm no scientist, but if you wanted to achieve a particular result in an experiment, it's probably a good idea to follow the exact same steps that another person took. In this paper called Gravity Superconductor Interactions, Historical Background, you can see the various criticisms for the verification attempts. And in the case of NASA's attempts, they never even built the rotating mechanism for the disk, and Podklonov's experiment required one capable of rotating at 5,000 RPM. And that's why we see Ning Li performing a stationary test in 1997. And only after NASA fails to complete this task for a second time, where their device was only able to rotate at 30 RPM, just a year later, Ning Li would be given a grant for about $500,000 from the US Department of Defense, with this grant being allocated to her to further conduct experiments into her theoretical work. However, no findings from this particular grant has ever been aired out to the public. And Ning Li's career after this point is largely a mystery. Now, naturally, you have to ask, was Ning Li so successful that she floated off into the atmosphere? Because she appears to disappear from the limelight completely, despite her one company still existing today. And there are a few hints as to her whereabouts post-2001, however, I will note anything going forward in this section leads to far more unconfirmed information. And in regards to the research here, in 2001, Podklonov seemed to be doing very well for himself, considering he was deemed an outcast from the broader scientific community, as he went on to later publish a paper in 2001, just years later, with another physicist by the name of Giovanni Modenes, detailing the results of a, quote, impulse gravity generator. And despite him seeming to be a suspected fraud, that didn't seem to stop people with mainstream academic backgrounds for funding his future projects. And in 2002, Jane's Defense Weekly's Nick Cook alleged that they had gotten their hands on another leaked document briefing regarding a presentation for an internal project from Boeing Phantom Works monitoring Podklonov's work. According to Nick Cook and Jane's Defense Weekly, an anti-gravity beam of 4 inches or 10 centimeters wide had been demonstrated in Russia and was apparently successfully repelling objects more than a half a kilometer away with negligible power loss. It was also alleged in the briefing that such technology could be engineered into a new weapon system capable of vaporizing objects. And while Boeing did confirm this was an actual presentation, they denied to say that they funded it with any company money. However, they noted that they could not comment on black budget projects. Now, later in May of 2003 is the last time I could find any further paper trail regarding Ning Li, as she completely disappears after this point in time. She apparently gave a talk on measuring AC gravity at a MITRA-sponsored conference on high-frequency gravitational waves, seeming to indicate that she was still studying AC gravity at this point in time. Now, in case you're unfamiliar with the MITRA Corporation, they manage federally funded research and development. And in the case of Ning Li giving a talk at this conference, it's also worth noting that she appeared to be giving a talk alongside another person from U.S. Army Aviation and Missile Command from Redstone Arsenal. But apparently sometime after this particular conference, she would disappear, with her last known correspondence being an email stating that she had observed an 11 kilowatt output effect of AC gravity. Is this amount a lot? Is this amount a little? I have no idea, and nobody else seems to know either. Now, according to email correspondence from a man by the name of Tim Ventura, who seems to be a journalist in this whole anti-gravity propulsion exotic technology sector, he seems to have interviewed a lot of the people involved with this space, one of which being Podklonov, and in another email in 2004, Podklonov seems to claim that she was working for the Department of Defense, and that she could simply not discuss her work. Now, assuming this is true, what is rather ominous is another mention I found of her from another physicist by the name of Jack Sarfati, who in just a seemingly casual conversation talking about Podklonov and other things like that, he brings up Ning Li, and I'll play that for you right now.
Is this related to in any way these spinning superconductor experiments? The pod.
That subject came up. Yes, it may be related to that.
A couple other recent papers that just came out about spinning superconducting disks.
Yes, yeah, it's related to that, and that subject was discussed at length at one of the meetings I attended. But that's a whole.
Well, NASA was working in that, weren't they? Down at.
Well, they never really did, but they didn't have much money.
Whatever became of that.
They didn't have enough money. And also one of the key...
The breakthrough propulsion physics.
Yes. They didn't have much money, and it was mismanaged.
Okay, so they were under.
But we had more money than they did. And
obviously, this may be done... This could be done in the private sector.
Yeah, okay. Now, one thing that did come up, and this is very important from a national security political point of view, one of the key scientists in this... electrogravitic superconductivity sort of stuff is a Chinese woman named Ning Li. And she has disappeared, allegedly going back to China. And our intelligence agencies do have very good
information. Wasn't she working at NASA?
She was working at NASA, Redstone Arsenal. But she disappeared for several years. The people at the Pentagon who were in touch with her cannot reach her anymore. She is allegedly back in China. And the Chinese, Red Chinese, are putting a lot of money into these exotic projects.
Okay, so they're taking this quite seriously then.
Yeah, and that's why our intelligence guys are very interested, because it looks as though the Chinese own a lot of America now because of the loans and all that, with the dollar shrinking, that the most likely people to develop the first real anti-gravity UFO sort of propulsion technology are the Red Chinese and possibly the Russians.
Yeah.
Now, in conclusion, I think it's always a good idea to remain skeptical. As I stated before, great claims require great evidence, and nothing in regards to the physics here has been confirmed positively by a third party. Ning Li's research, while it seems mysterious, could very well be another failed attempt at researching another exotic project. Let me remind you that the CIA spent $20 million researching remote viewing. And as to what I personally think happened to Ning Li, I think the idea of her fleeing the country seems plausible, but the only thing that seems to counteract that is that her company is still active to this day. And I suppose someone is still paying that yearly franchise tax on her Delaware company. Furthermore, it's rather bizarre that this one physicist has intel on the Pentagon and is casually discussing it here on YouTube. And while I'll admit he seems to be very knowledgeable on the various programs that have happened in the past and is well-networked, it's rather bizarre that this YouTube video in 2008, seemingly randomly thrown on the internet, is the final mention of her. I reached out to Sarfati about his statement here, and he declined to comment. And as far as I'm aware, nobody else seems to have any idea as to what happened to her as well. But given the fact that Ning Li seemed to be involved in researching the whole high-frequency gravitational wave theory, what is rather bizarre is that there have been some other patents released recently from the US Navy that have gotten some reporting, and nobody is really sure what to make of them. One of which is a piezoelectricity-induced high-temperature superconductor, a high-frequency gravitational wave generator, and a craft using an inertial mass reduction device. All of these patents come from a guy by the name of Salvatore Pius, and these were vouched for by the Secretary of the Navy. And the reason for pushing these patents through, despite not seemingly having a working prototype, was because of Chinese advancements. And another paper from the guy is called Hybrid Craft Using Inertial Mass Device, or he calls it a hybrid aerospace undersea craft, which sounds very reminiscent of that one Tic Tac situation. And once again, in regards to mainstream academics, many physicists refuse to talk on the record regarding these patents, and the ones that do state that it makes absolutely no sense. And while I've seen many people speculate that these patents are nothing but disinformation, meant to cause other governments to waste time researching nonsense, and from what I can tell, one journalist from The Drive managed to get their hands on a Freedom of Information Act request regarding some of the testing that was going on with Pius. It was only after this point that the Navy claimed that the Pius effect was a dead end. But as far as I'm aware, this was only testing in regards to one particular patent, the high-energy electromagnetic field generator. And according to correspondence with Pius, he remains adamant that his theories will be proven one day. And with all that being said, it is rather bizarre to see all of this UFO talk come back into the limelight. But I guess only time will tell, and this definitely leaves more room for speculation. I'd love to know what you guys think about all of this. This is Barely Sociable. Have a good night.